Well, we are here on Resurrection Sunday. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We live in days that are dark and fearful, and there are many. I don't know if you've been out doing some shopping or not, but the other day, Oren and I were out at Walmart. I shouldn't maybe have said the place, but we were at Walmart, and we started down an aisle, and I could tell the lady coming towards us was nervous. And so I said to Oren, "Walk behind me." And so he scooted over and walked behind me. But that wasn't enough for that lady. She turned around and faced, what am I doing here? Faced the shelf and kind of leaned into the shelf and looked away from us as we passed. She was quite that we were keeping that social distance. We're living in fearful times. But for God's people, it's radically different, isn't it? This morning's text for our Resurrection Sunday is Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, I hope that you brought your Bibles with you. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. If you have your phone, you can scroll to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to pick it up in verse 28. You've probably heard this verse a few times these past few weeks as we've faced this response to COVID-19. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 20, we read this, "And we know that all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Have you heard that verse? Have you thought about that verse? Maybe you've claimed that verse as you've walked through these days of uncertainty. And certainly that's appropriate, but it's important for us to understand the context of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And in just a moment, we're going to begin to explore some of the context of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. But the world is searching for things. Have you noticed that? They're searching for an understanding of what COVID-19 is. They're searching out how long this can live on surfaces, various surfaces. They're trying to figure out what can kill it. They're trying to figure out an inoculation. I can't think of the word that I want to say, but my nurse over there could tell me. But something to give you a shot to prevent you from getting it. Vaccine, that's what I'm looking for. And they're looking for this and that and the other thing. And the world needs to be looking for is Jesus Christ. And what a glorious message we have for them. And here's the message of Easter. Here is the message of Resurrection Sunday. And that is this, that he is risen. Now, you know that I like participation, and today participation's a little more difficult, but so I'm going to trust you to still go and participate as much as you can. So on three, I'd like for you to say with me, he is risen. But I don't want you to just say he is risen. I mean, I want you to say it like you mean it, like you understand what that statement means. One, two, three. He is risen. Yes. He is risen, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, the fact that he is risen and what that means. So first of all, we have with that idea, he is. He is. Well, who is he? John chapter 1 says very plainly, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." He is our creator. And we might be getting some feedback from our FM transmitters too. He is our creator. He has created you and me. He is. He is the one who came, put upon himself flesh, was born of man, and dwelled among man, and lived a sinless, perfect life for 30-some years. He is the one who caused the blind to see. He is the one who caused the lame to walk. He is the one who healed those lepers. He is the one who would speak to the Samaritan woman at the well. He is the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. That is who he is. He is the one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He is the one who always was concerned, his utmost concern was to do not his will, but the will of the Father. That is who he is. This is the one who is risen. He is the one who went to Calvary's cross, not because of any sin of his own, but because he took upon himself your sin and my sin, and not only that, the sin of the world. And there he died as our substitute. He is the one who looked at last week, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he took not only our sin, but our punishment. He took our hell on Calvary's cross. And he said this, it is finished. Not that he was finished. No, he wasn't finished, but his work on Calvary's cross was finished. He wasn't finished at all, and that's what this day is all about. He is risen. He isn't finished. And as we look at our text in Romans chapter 8 this morning, we're going to see what that means. He is risen. He is. And boy, we've just scratched the surface of who he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am, the ever-present one. Isn't that incredible? And on we can go with the idea of who he is. Now turn back with me to Romans chapter 8, and we'll pick it up in verse 28. It's a wonderful verse, so we'll read it again, and we'll read on through this. I gave Brian some tongue twisters to read this morning. I have a little bit of one here as well in Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, this verse has a context. This verse has some qualifiers to it, doesn't it? This promise is given to those who are called according to his purpose. This is for those who are his. This is because he cannot fail. This is because his plan cannot be undone. God's plan, even though at this time we might be looking at the circumstances around us and saying, how in the world could this be good? How in the world could God use this for good in my life or in the life of others? We may see it, but we can rest assured that God's sure promise is that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, because his plan, his will not be thwarted. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, when you accepted Jesus as Savior, his plan, it was and is and always will be for you to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, God has begun a work in you that is doing that very thing. Those old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new, as he predestines us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, what shall we then say to these things? Listen to this next portion. If God be for us, do you know how it ends? Who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a wonderful truth to hold on to. In these days and in every day. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Oh, there's that great accuser, isn't there? You know who I'm talking about. His name is Lucifer, or Satan, the devil. And you recall the story of Job as the devil went before God and said, give me your man Job and I'll show you what he's made of. And you know that story, don't you? And just as Lucifer did with Job, he desires to do with us, the accuser of the brethren. But boy, we don't need to fear him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. It's Christ that died for you and for me. Yea, rather, that he is risen again. There it is. Can you say it with me? He is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so we've looked for a moment at who he is, and what is this resurrection, this he is risen. What is this is risen part? Death couldn't have him, and the grave could not hold him. He laid his life down so that he could take it up once again. That was the plan. And in his death, burial, and resurrection, he defeated sin and death, and we can have life in Christ. And not only that, this is risen tells us here in our text before us that I lost my page. The text that was before me and now is once again, who is risen, who is even at the right hand of God. When he ascended, as the disciples and others were looking on, and he ascended up into the clouds, he promised that he would come again in the same manner that he left. And he went to be at the right hand of the throne of God. And that is where he is this very day, this very moment. And what is his activity? He is there making intercession for his children. He is there making intercession for you and for me. The accuser comes. We don't have to fear that. We have an intercessor who is always there interceding on your behalf, on my behalf. This is part of the reality that he is risen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now that pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? The idea is here is that no one, nothing, no circumstances, no people, no people group, no matter how mighty or strong they might appear to be, they can never separate us from the love of Christ. Have you ever felt like you're outside of the love of Christ? Maybe that you're not worthy of being loved? Well, let me let you in on a secret. You and I, on our own, we're not worthy of love. But God loved us. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We are promised by God himself that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We will never be out of his love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation can't. Distress cannot, persecution cannot, famine cannot, nakedness or peril or sword, they cannot separate us from the love of God. As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, I know absolutely 100%. I know this to be true. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you get the message that Paul is communicating? There is nothing that can come between you and the love of God. You have upon you, if you are his child, the love of God that no one or nothing can take away. This is all part of the reality. This is what's been provided in the reality that he is risen. He is risen indeed. You know, this is one of the major things that separates Christianity. Christianity from other false religions and cults that are out there. We have a risen Savior. And we have these sure promises that the Apostle Paul points out here in this 8th chapter of Romans. And this should cause us to come to the place where we understand that because he lives, because he is risen, I can face tomorrow. In just a moment, Brian's going to come back And he's going to lead us in that song. Because he has risen, because he is risen, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And not only can you face tomorrow, but you can face all that tomorrow holds. You say, well, what does tomorrow hold? Well, I don't know. Neither do you. But God does. And we have his sure promise that you can face it. Why can you face it? Because he is risen. As we go through these days of separation and anxiety, as our world goes through these things, we can go with a smile on our face, a message of love and peace that only God can bring. Boy, I tell you what, at any time this message is needed. But in these darker days, our message should shine even brighter. As we live our lives in such a way that not only the words of our mouth, not only our lips express that he is risen, but our very lives express the reality that he is risen. And because of that, we are a new creature in Christ, being conformed to the image of his Son, allowing those things, allowing God through the Holy Spirit and his Word to do the work that he desires, to cause those old things to pass away and all things to become new, so that we can bring honor and glory to him, and so that we can be a testimony to a lost and dying world that's looking for this and that and the other thing. And what they really need is Jesus Christ. What they really need is to understand the truth and the reality and the importance of the fact that he is real. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had to share this morning. What a beautiful day you have provided for us. What wonderful and glorious truths from your word we're reminded of. What you have accomplished in your sacrifice that you made on Calvary's cross. And that you were victorious over sin and death. And that you have risen again and now sit at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. What a blessed privilege it is. Those words are even, they're just completely inadequate to express our feeling of gratitude and appreciation for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you promised to do in our lives as your children. Lord, I pray that you would help us to go from this place encouraged in our heart, to find creative ways to express this glorious truth that you've allowed us to know and to understand and to believe in faith to a lost and dying world. Lord, may we not only help our neighbor get through tough times, but may we be bold enough to share that with them the message that if they'll accept will get them not only through these tough times, but allow them to face tomorrow with certainty, with full assurance that they are God's and they are loved by him. Lord, we pray these things to be true in our lives. May we be useful instruments in your hands, knowing that if we are, you have promised you will use us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.